Daf, for tonight's daf is Daf Chav Gimel. We got to the last three lines of Chav Beis. Amar Beis, the Gemara is quoting more from the Mishnah about the differences between Kodesh and Shuma. And this next distinction the Gemara is analyzing is no say as a midras, no say as a Shuma, aval lo as a Kodesh, which means the person's holding in one hand a midras, which became Tame, something like a shoe, something that a Zav, who's an individual man, who's Tame, would wear or step on really, that's midras. That midras would be Tameh. So although he's holding that midras in one hand, he's allowed to hold Chuma in the other hand. It won't affect the Chuma. But Kodesh, the halacha is, if he's holding midras in his right hand, which is Tameh, it will affect the Kodesh in his left hand, and the Kodesh will become Tameh. So Gemara wants to know, what's the distinction? Kodesh my time alo. Why are you not allowed to do this? Carry midras in one hand and the Kodesh in the other hand. So the Gemara says, Mishim Ma'isa Shahaya, a very, very important din, because Ma'isa Shahaya once happened regarding the Midras of Kodesh, so they made a gzera. So what happened? Damar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ma'isa Be'echad Shaya Mavir Chavish Yain Kodesh Mimakum Lamakum. A person was transporting a barrel of wine from one place to the next. V'nifsika, and then Nifsika Virtua Shel Sandalo, and then his strap on his shoe had snapped. V'nallah, and he took it. And apparently Rashi says on the top here, Midras Hazav Hayaza, this individual transporting it was Hazav, and he took the Ritzua, the snapped string, says Rashi, the shoelace, rather the Gemara, V'nallah V'nicha P'chavis, he placed on top of the barrel, and then what happened was, Nafla La'avir HaChavis, and it fell into the airspace of the Chavis V'nitmas, and it became made a Tame. So Bo'os HaShah, that time, that moment, Amru, they made a Gzeira, Hanoseh, a Midras, no, says a Chuma, but lo, is a Kodesh. They made a Gzera, since this individual was Midras, and he was transporting Kodesh, they made a Gzera, no one is ever allowed to hold Midras in one hand and Kodesh in the other hand, because of the Maisa Shehaya. There's an interesting Tosa on the top here. Tosa says, Nifsaka Ritzul Shatsanalo, that the shoelace snapped. The Afagav, the Gavi Tumak Siv Kli, only things that are Kalim can become Tame. A thread, a string isn't a Kli, can't become Tame. So how did this Ritzul become Tame? V'hai Ritzul Av Kli, who says Tosa. So Midilo Sharinalai Lutaltal, the fact that you can't carry it on Shabbos indicates it's not a Kli. It's just, it's nothing, it's purposeless. So look at Tosa, jump to the bottom of Tosa's writes, Tzarech Lememer, you have to answer last four lines of Tosfos, Kigon de Nishtayer ben Ritzuya, de Ika Mana de Hedyo, Yachal Achzir. Must have been a long shoelace where there's enough to fashion a clear mana out of, and that's why it still was considered a Keli and became Tamim. Either way, in light of this Maisa Shahaya, which took place with the Midras and Kodesh, they made a Gzera, you're never allowed to carry both at the same time. So the Gemara says, in light of that, Gzera, Ihachi, if that's the case, a Chuma Nami. Why not make a Gzera on Chuma as well? Why only Kodesh? This could happen just as likely with Chuma as well. Make the same Gzera. So Hamani, who authored this Mishnah, who's the author of this Gzera? It must be Rabbi Hananiah ben Akavyahi. Damar lo asr ela biyardein ubisfina ukimaisa shahaya. Rabbi Hananiah said, when they made a Gzera, and this is true in general, whenever Chachamim make a gzera in light of a certain Ma'isa Shehaya, they make a gzera only about that particular case and they don't change any details. So for example, he's going to tell us the details, but I'll give you some examples that come to mind. The Maharam of Rutenberg, right, Lewis actually mentioned this the other day when he gave the shir Sunday morning, yesterday morning, about he had a piece of cheese stuck in his mouth and he was, he didn't mention this, it was really gvina kasha, a hard piece of cheese that it was. They made a gzera after having hard cheese, you have to wait 6 hours prior to having meat. So why was Gzera only on Gvina Kasha? Why not anything else? So it could be the Svar is because Gvina Kasha is stronger, it's sticks in the teeth, it has more tam, or it could be because the Gzera that happened, the Maisa Shehaya was, it was hard trees that he was eating that got stuck. So the Gzera only extended to Gvina Kasha, it didn't extend to other things. Another example that they say, it's really more of Rishonim, Machlokas Tanayim, when it comes to the case of Shtuya Yain, a Kohen who's drunk, cannot enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because another Vavia, what happened, they were drunk according to one opinion, they entered into the Avoda. So Machlokas of Yehuda in the Tanakama, does it apply only to Yain that you can't drink, or even other Meshachrin, other things, other alcoholic beverages, if they drink and go into the Beis HaMikdash, that would be Aser as well. So I believe the Ramban al-Torah says the reason why it'd be limited to wine is because that was the Ma'isa Shehaya, that's what happened. But if it's because of a svara that they might make a mistake or it's inappropriate to walk that way, then there shouldn't be a distinction between yain or any other alcoholic beverages. So too, Rabbi Hananiah says here as well, since the Ma'isa Shehaya was particularly with Kodesh, so the Gzera only was on Kodesh and didn't go beyond that. So the Gemara explains further. So let's see, Mahi, what was this Ma'isa that actually happened? The of Rabbi Hananiah ben Akavya, where he goes there only a particular case. The Tzani, the Braisa, tells another situation that lo yisa adam mechatas ve'efer chatas. Person shouldn't carry the mechatas, the water, the mayim chayim that was used for the paraduma, and the ashes of the paraduma. He shouldn't carry ve'aviram biyarden ubesfina. He shouldn't carry them on the yarden, nor on a boat, or really the same, and on the boat. But lo yamod betzadzev yizrakam betzad acher. He shouldn't stand on one side of the river and throw it over the other side of the river. Below yishitem al pnei amayim, he shouldn't let it float over the water. Below yirkav agavi behema, he shouldn't ride it on an animal. Below agavi chaveiro, not even on a friend, he shouldn't carry. He shouldn't be carried by a friend holding this stuff. Ela imkein hayu raglava no gas bekarka, unless his hand, his legs are able to reach the floor as being carried by his friend or the animal. Aval, what you can do is mavirin al gavei hagesha. You can go over a bridge even though your feet are not touching the ground. Ve'nochoshesh, and there isn't a concern. All right, so these are what's the reason for all this? And then the Braisa says echad a yarden, echad sharnaros. Whether this is in the river yarden or any other river, you shouldn't transport over the water. But then comes along Rabbi Hananiah ben Akavi Omer lo aser elo biyarden ubisfina. The only gzer is on the Yarden River, no other river, no other body of water, and only the boat. But the transport to throw it over, that would all be fine. Why? Because if Hananiah says, "Kemaisa Shahaya," that's what happened. Maisa Shahaya was on the Yarden Ubisfina. We never were gozer beyond that particular case. My Maisa Shahaya. What was this Maisa about the Yarden and the Sfina? Dhamma Rav Yehud, Dhamma Rav, Maisa Ba'adam Echad, once an individual, Shayamavir, Mechatas, Vefer Chatas. He was transporting this stuff, the water and the ashes, Beyarden Ubisfina. Vinimsa Kazais Mace. They found that there was a piece of a flesh, dead body, that was buried in this boat, and it was matami the efer chatas and the mechatas. So therefore, Bosa Shah, they were gozer amru lo yisa adam mechatas vefer chatas ve'avirim biyardin v'sfina. They made a gzera only if it was exactly like the ma'isa shahaya, again on the yardin and on the sfina. So too, Rabbi Hananiah must be the author of our Mishnah, that they were only gozer midras and kodesh, because that was the ma'isa shahaya. But they did not extend it even to Truma as well. Where I want to know now, Yibaril Hu, Sandal Tame, Sandal Tar, Mahu. So let's say Rashi, look at Rashi writes, Yibaril Hu, it's around 10 narrow lines down, Yibaril Hu, Sandal Tame, Hadamers de Gazra Alav, Shol Yisa Kodesh Imo, that was only regarding Sandal Tame. What about a Sandal Tar? The guy is Tahor. Could you then wear shoes? Me Gozer Sandal Tar, Atu Tame Alav. Were they gozer even on a regular sandal that they shouldn't wear, even if the guy's tahor, or not? It was only for the guy who was tahor, they shouldn't wear a sandal. So the Gemara says further, chavis psucha, chavis tuma. The whole situation happened because the barrel was open, so the ritzua fell into the airspace. But what if he was transporting a chavis tuma, clothes? Would that be permitted? Mahu, what's the halacha? Avar v'nasa mahu, let's say they went against it anyways. They violated this by transporting it this way. But nothing happened. No tuma happened to it. So what's the status of the wine or whatever is being transported, the kodesh? So Rabbi Yilav, Amar im avar v'nasa tamei. He says, if a person did violate it, it is tamei only midirbanan, but the chachamim said it's tamei for violating their gzera. And Rabbi Zera, Amar yavar v'nasa tar. If a person did violate this gzera and transported it, if it did not get tamei, so in the end of the day, b'dievet, it will still be considered tahor. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that said, Kelim ha'nigmarim b'tara. So we said in the Mishnah that when the Kelim are complete, we have to dip them in the mikvah first, right? That was the Mishnah that goes back to, does it go back to Yudches? Read the Mishnah after, I don't remember. Yehuchaf. The Mishnah told us that after you completed making the Kelim, you'd have to dip into the mikvah, I think for the purposes of Kodesh, but not for Truma. So the Gemara says now, the Gamrinu Man, who was the one who completed the making of the Kelim? Ilema the Gamrinu Chaver, if a Chaver who is a person who's Tahor, so if he's the one who completed it, remember, when an object is not a Keli yet, it can't become Tame, it's nothing. So when it became a Keli, who was touching it? So if the guy working there was a guy who was a Chaver, who was Tahor, the moment he completed it and he was Tahor, there's nothing to be concerned of. Why do you have to put it into the mikvah? I mean, the mikvah here is not for Tefillas Kelim that we speak of when you buy a new object. Because if a Jew makes that, there's no need for tefillas kelim. Only a goy makes it. So we're talking about a Jewish make here. The need for tefillah in this case is if it became tame. Not what we're doing, but if it became tame. So who was the one who completed the kli? Ilema.
Because it became tame, or because of a chashash tuma for
kodesh? A chashash tuma in when being used for kodesh. But now we're trying to figure out what is the chashash here. If a chaver was the one finishing it, there's no chashash to speak of here. Ilema de gamrinu chaver, if the chaver was the one who completed the keli, so lamal hul tefillah, what's the need for tefillah? It was a kli for 3 seconds in its creation, and there's no one who's tummy who came near it. Ella, it must be the gamrinu am haaretz and am haaretz who was not makbid on tumah. He was the one who completed it. So that's the case. Nigmar betara karile. The Mishnah says kelim ha nigmar betara requires tevila. If an am haaretz completed it, it wouldn't be nigmar betara. It'd be nigmar betumah. So what's the case here where something is nigmar betara, but yet it still requires a tevila? So Amarabba Bar Shila Amarav Masna Amar Shmuel Liolam Digamrinu Chaver. Really a Chaver who is Tar completed. So what's the need for the Tevila then? Umishum Tsinur Dam Haaretz, we're concerned that an Am Haaretz may have spit and Anafel and fell on it. We find this Gemara in several places where the Tsinur, the spit, the saliva of an Am Haaretz made something Tame. Because we assume an Am Haaretz is a Zav. He was not Makbid on Tumah V'Tara. And all the various liquids, Meiraglayim and the Me'af and the Tsinora, everything of the Zav is Tame, is Metame. So we're concerned he may have gotten on this kli. So Gemara wants to know, no, Elam Amos, when exactly did this saliva fall onto the kli? Elam, if you say, Mekame de Ligmare, if it's before it became finished, Halav Manahu, when the Am Haaretz spit on it during the first stages of the making the keli, it wasn't a keli yet, it wouldn't affect the garment or the object. Ella must be Basa de Gamre. So if you say that after I completed the keli, since some Am Haaretz came along and spit on it, that wouldn't happen because Mizar Zarbu. I would be very, very careful to keep it in, a glass container, something protective to make sure that Am Haaretz wouldn't spit on it. So why is there a concern that it may have became Tameh if I, as the Chaver, completed this keli? So Gemara says, Liom, really, what we said, last week we mentioned something similar to this. Liom Mekame de Gamre. Really, he spit on it prior to becoming a keli, during the earlier stages of the making of this mana, and the dilma be'idna de gamre adain lachahi. But there's a concern that maybe that saliva is still wet, and now I made it to a kli, the saliva is still there, and then it's going to be metame the kli. So for that reason, legabe kodesh, we said, even though kelim hanigmar metara, still afapikein tsarech, it requires a tevila because of this chashash. Okay. Gemara now says, tevila in Herv Shemeshla. When it comes to these kelim, when you finish a keli, it only requires tevila, but does not require Herv Shemesh. So the lach is, in terms of Herv Shemesh, when it comes to the Mishnah, tells in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, that when it comes to the Zman of Kriyat Shema B'Lailah, you have to wait until the Kohanim Ochlim B'Tshuma. When's that? Herv Shemesh. If a Kohen may have become Tameh Nebal Keri, so he goes to the mikvah. So after going to the mikvah, he's called a Tivil Yom. It's not until Harav Shemesh, until sunset, does it become completely tahor, in which case he's allowed to eat. So there's man that the Kohanim go in to eat the Truma, Ochlim B'Truma, after Harav Shemesh. That's the earliest man of Kriyat Shema B'Lailah. So, but when it comes to this tefillah here, you don't require Harav Shemesh. Tefillah alone is sufficient. So Gemara says, this masnitz in our Mishnah must be below Kirebi Eliezer. Because Rebbe Eliezer, as we'll see in a moment, does require a Harav Shemesh, even for Kalim HaNigmarim Bitara. So the Tanan, the Mishnah tells, the Mishnah appears in Maseches Parah, I believe. Mishnah says, Shifoferes Shechotcha Lechatas. They cut a Shifoferes, some type of tube, that they were going to transport the Mechatas in for the Paraduma, the Maim Chaim. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yitvol Miyad, the moment they cut it, they should dip this Shifoferes in the mikvah. And Rabbi Yeshua Omer, first Yitma, you take the Shvoferes, you metamit somehow, and acharkach Yitvol, and only afterwards do you do a Tevila. Now the reason for all this, those who learn the first daf of Maseches Yuma, and Para also, if you learn Maseches Para, that there's a big machlokas at the Tzedukim versus us, whether or not a Tevil Yom is allowed to perform the Paraduma. So a person who became Tameh went to the mikvah, he's called a Tevil Yom again. So we paskin that Tevil Yom is allowed to do Paraduma, the Tzedukim said a Tevil Yom is not allowed to do the Paraduma. They had to wait till Harav Shemesh. So in order to go to be Motzi Miliban Shel Tzedukim, we dafka made them Tameh, and then we made them go to the mikvah, so to be a Tevil Yom, we made Tevil Yom do the Paraduma. Now because of that, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, since that sounds like somewhat of a degrading thing to do for Paraduma, even though it's for the purpose of Bimoti Liban Shel Tzedukim, they compensated by using only Kalim that cannot become Tameh, Kliavanim and things like that cannot become Tameh to overcompensate, even though the individual who was doing it was a Tivayom, but the Kalim are not susceptible to Tumah. So again, so the Gemara says, so again, Rabbi Eliezer says, you cut the shofaris and you dip into the mikvah, and Rabbi Yeshua says, you first metame it, then only afterwards do you put it into the mikvah. So Avinam Ba, the Gemara wants to know, the chot chaman, when exactly do they cut the shofaris that there's a need to go to the mikvah? Elaim, if you say, dechatcha chaver, fechaver tam nechacham, who's tahor, cut it. So lamali tvila, what's the need for the tvila? The ela must be dechatcha amaritz, and amaritz cut it. So baha, lema, Rabbi Yeshua, yitma v'yitval. So if a amaritz cut the shvaferis, why would Rabbi Yeshua require you to make it mitame a second time and go to the mikvah? The very fact that the amaritz cuts it and touches it, that should make it tame ready. Ha tame v'kari, that's already tame. So answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Li Olam Dechatcha Chaver. Really a Chaver, the person who was Tahar, he really cut it for, he cut the Shvaferis. Umishum Tzinor Dam Haaretz Tzinofel. We're concerned that maybe again that saliva of the Amaretz fell on it, so that's why we have to be Mitar, we have to put into the mikvah. So again, the Nafla Emas, when did it fall? If he spit on it before you cut it from the ground, Halav Manahu, it's not a Manah yet. So that's not going to be Mitame. So it must be that he spit on it after the chaver cut it. Same question we said above. Mizar Zahiba. The chaver who cuts the shvaferis is going to protect it, so no one spit on it. So the real case is liolam mikame dilechatcha. Before you cut it, the spit got on it. And dilma beinah dechatcha. But the moment the chaver cut it, it's possible that the yadayin lacha, maybe that saliva was still wet and was matamia. So that's why you have to put it into the mikvah. But either way, Rabbi Elazar says you go to the mikvah. There's no need to matame it, because a chashash exists already. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you first have to be yitma, first metamit, and then go to the mikvah. So the Gemara now explains here, again, the goal we're trying to get from all this, we're trying to figure out that Rabbi Eliezer requires not only tevila for kelim hanigmarim, but even Harav Shemesh. We'll see that in just a moment. So bishlam al Rabbi Yeshua, this makes sense according to Rabbi Yeshua. Hainu ika hekeira letzadukim. Rabbi Yeshua's position makes sense that he was dafka metame the shvaferis, to show that in your face we're bringing mitamit, we're going to put it in the mikvah, and we're not waiting for a sunset, and we're going to use it. And that's why they're dafka mitamit, just to show the tzedukim. So that makes a lot of sense. But Ella, according to, no sorry, the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, that mitamin hayu as a kohen, sorry if it's a para, they're dafka mitamit the kohen, who is burning the para, lahotzi miliban shal tzedukim, to go against them in its outward way. Shayu omrim, they would say, b'morve shemesh ha'isanasis. No, you have to wait for the kohen until sunset. You can't wait to use a tivul yom. So they dafka matame the kohen, they dafka matame the shvaferes in their face to show them that they are incorrect. Elul Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Elazar. So iam respishma ba'alma, if you understand in general that ba'inan herv shemesh for kli, haynu dika keru l'tzedukim. This is the assumption we're working with now. If Rabbi Eliezer in general does require Harav Shemesh, so normally if I have a kli, I'd need to put it into the mikvah and wait till sunset to use it. But in this case, I'm putting it into the mikvah and I'm not waiting for sunset, so that's the heker for the tzedukim. In this case, we're not waiting for sunset. So if that's the case, he is one who goes against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says all we require for kelim is tevila, not Harav Shemesh. Here, the only way to understand Rabbi Eliezer is that in general, if in general he holds you do require Harav Shemesh, and here by Paraduma you don't require Harav Shemesh, that's the heker for the Tzedukim, but we see that he holds you require sunset in general for Kalim. But Ella, if you hold that Rabbi Elazar thinks, Iyamris Ba'ama lo Ba'in Harav Shemesh, if Rabbi Elazar holds like our Mishnah, that really Tevila is enough, you don't ever require sunset for the Kalim, so my heker le Tzedukim Ika. What's the heker that Rabbi Elazar is making for the Tzedukim? Just like today I put into the mikvah and that's it, so too in general I put into my mikvah, that's no different than any other day. There's no outwardly action that's showing against the Tzedukim. So Amara Rav says, no, what's going on here? Really, Rabbi Eliezer does not require Harav Shemesh here. Ah, so what's going on here? So Amarav, because Asahua Kitame Sheret. So this requires somewhat of a hezbir here. But they made this kli. What happened was, according to Rabbi Eliezer, no one was metame. You cut the shvaferis, and there's a chashash, maybe the far-fetched chashash, that someone Amarz may have spit on it before I cut it, and the saliva is still there, and now when I cut it, since it's still there and wet, it makes a tamit. That's a chashash. And because of that chashash, we put it into the mikvah. So now the question is, so what's the heker for the tzedukim? They don't see anything tameh to make a tameh. So they made a din that this shvaferis has a din of a tameh kitameh sheretz. What's a tameh sheretz? So a sheretz is one of the avos atumah. It's an av. An av atumah can make, what we say, an av atumah can make tameh? anything. Adam and Kalim, right? And certainly Ochel Mashke. Those are four categories always to keep in mind. So now when something is Metame from a Sheretz, that's a Tame Sheretz, it's a Vlad, that's a Rishon, that's no longer an Av, so that Rishon now only has the ability to be Metame food and drink, but not Adam and Kalim anymore. So they said that this Kli, which just has a chashash of the tinura of Amaretz, is going to have a din, a strong level of tumah that's able to be metame other things. It's not simply a chashash here, but they gave it a din of a tame sheretz, where it's a rishon of a sheretz, even though it wasn't really, but they gave it that din, now it can metame something that's sheni. That's the din, there's a chiddush that they made. That was the heker to Rabbi Elazar. Now, I'm not really sure what the heker is, because unless it touches something to make it tame, you're not going to see anything that's so clear that it has a din of a tame sheretz. But that's the din of Rabbi Elazar. It's not just a stam kli that requires tevila. It's actually something that is been tame, other things, kitame sheretz. So to look at Rashi on the top here, just maybe we could see this clearer. Rashi says, asa'ua kitame sheretz. They made the shvaferes of a din of a tame sheretz. Liolam Ba'alma lo bayher of Shemesh Rabbi Eliezer le Kalim, Hanig Marim Batara. Really, Rabbi Eliezer agrees to our Mishnah that Kalim Hanig Marim Batara requires Tevila but doesn't require Her of Shemesh. Va'afil hachi still, Ika Heker, there's a Heker for the case of Parduma. Why? The Fisha Shvaferes Shechatas Asan, they made it Kilo Naga B'Sheretz as if it touched the Sheretz. Linyan Minyan Rishon V'Sheni. So that means this Shvaferes is a din of a Rishon and it can make food into a Sheni. Fine. So now the Gemara says, if it's really true that this shofaris only has a din of a rishon, it's not like an actual sheretz, but it's a rishon of a sheretz. So el miyata, if that's the case, lo titma adam, it shouldn't be able to be metame man, because we said only avos atuma could be metame adam, but not a rishon or lower. Alam matane, why did the Braisa say the one who cuts the shvaferes? Now we're viewing the shvaferes as a tamei sheretz, which is a rishon. Now if I cut it, and the one who's matbil, the one who puts it into the mikvah, these individuals require tvila. But why? If this shvaferes is only a rishon latuma, it shouldn't have the strength and potency to make me into a tamei, because it can't make it a adam. A rishon can only make food and drink tamei, but it can't make adam and kalim tamei. So why am I tamei if I'm touching a rishon latuma? So Ella, the Gemara says, you're right. They didn't make it into a ketame sheretz. Ella, asa'ua ketame mace. Now, tamas mace works differently because the mace itself is avi avos atuma. It's really it's a higher level. It's like a negative one, if you will. And there, I guess zero, I guess you should make it. Now, probably negative one's better to use with negative one. And then it makes the thing you touch it, that becomes an avatuma. And then the avos, so now if I touch mace, I'm an avatuma. I'm like a sheretz. And the next thing I touch is a rishon. So this shvaferes, we're making it as if the shvaferes touched a tamei mace. Now the shvaferes has a din of an avatuma, and an avatuma can make an adam tamei. So that's the case here. So now the Gemara says, if you're really viewing the shvaferes as a din of tumas mace, so ihachi, that's the case, tibai hazas shlishi v'shvi, the din of tumas mace, the pasuk and tells us in Parshas Chukas, you require sprinkling of the paraduma day 3 and day 7. So we don't find such a din anywhere. Lama Tanya, why did the Braisa tell us, the one who cuts the shvaferes, and the one who is matvila the shvaferes, ton tevila, tevila in, hazah shlishi shvila, only requires tevila, but does not require the sprinkling. So we can't say that the shvaferes has a din of a tumas mace. Ella, asa'ua, ketame mace b'shvi shalo. So they made the shvaferes like a tumas mace on the last day of the tumas mace, as if it already received its third and seventh day sprinkling, and all it needs is tevila. So it has the ability of a tumas mace to be metame in adam, but also doesn't require the 7 days because it's the last day of tumas mace, which is a tremendous chiddush. So then the Gemara says, if that's really what the din of the shvaferes is, again, a ketame mace b'shvi shelo, that's the creation that the chachamim made, but hatane, doesn't the Braisa tell us, me olam lo chid shedavar b'parah? They never create any chidushim. There's enough chidushim in paraduma to go around. There's no need for us to make any new chidushim. So there's a chidush to create a tumah that's like a tamei mace b'shvi shelo. That doesn't exist anywhere in halacha. So what's going on here? So Gemara says, no, that line of mi'olam lo chidshu davar b'parah was talking about something else. Amar Bai says, shelo amru kardum mitamei moshev. What it meant was they never turned a kli that wasn't a moshev into a moshev. I mean, there's a certain din of a keli, and there's a certain din of a bed or a chair. So an axe, you can't say that an axe is a chair. It just doesn't work like that. It's not a chair. It's not a bed. So that's what it means. We never mechadesh the purpose of a kli into another kli. But in terms of creating other types of tumas, like this case of a shvafaris, has a din of a tamei mace on a shvi shalom, that could exist. But that din of, again, may olam lo chidsha davar bepar, that means we never made a kli into something that really wasn't. So as the Gemara says, shelo amru kardom mitamei moshav, the Tanya, the Brisa tells us, Hayoshef ala kli, one who sits on the kli. The pasuk goes on to explain that he has to be the pasuk Hayoshef al kli asher yashav alav hazav. So zav sits on a chair. Now I go ahead and sit in the chair. So I'm mitame. That chair has a din of a tumazav. It makes me tame. So says the Gemara, Yachol kafasa v'yashav aleh tarka v'yashav aleh yitame. One might think, let's say you take a basket of some sort and flip it over and use it as a chair, something that really shouldn't be a chair, using as a chair, that might also have the din of Moshav Zav, Tamalomer, Hayoshiv al Kli Asher Yoshiv Alav Yitma. What's a double lashon? A chair that you sit on. Of course you sit on a chair. What's a double lashon? So Misha Meyuchal Yeshiva, only a chair that's used for sitting, Yotzezeh Shomim Lo Amud Venasim Lachtenu. As opposed to an axe, a shovel, a basket, we say, what are you doing as a chair? You're not a chair. Get up and do what you're supposed to be doing. Work as a basket. Work as an axe. Don't act as a chair. In which case that means, a kli that's not a chair cannot have a din of a chair. That's what it meant when he said, Me'olam Lo Chidshu Davar Bepara. We never made a kli into a chair that it really wasn't. But in terms of creating this new tumah, this new category of a tumah of mace, b'shvi shalom, that we could understand and that we could accept. And that was a din of shvaferis, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that this shvaferis had a din of tumas mace, b'shvi shalom, where it had the ability to metame the person who cut it, to metame the person who was matbila, and it would be enough of a hecker to the tzedukim who thought you have to wait until sunset. We're good? No one's overloaded? Okay. Let's go a little further, may as well, to the top of the next, maybe halfway down the next page, I think we can do. This is regarding a creating a kli in the world of paraduma. He says, right, chidshu davar bipara, it says, the line, bipara. Okay, the Gemara now says, the two dots, hakli mitzarif masha betochu lekodesh velo lechuma. We say, if you have a kli, a basket, and different things that are in there, if it's chuma, then you have grapes, and I don't know, apples, and oranges. So if the grapes are tame, it won't impact the other items in the kli. But regarding kodesh, if one of them is kodesh, the rest of the kli is going to be kodesh because it's matzai for everything together. It's all going to be tame. So the Gemara says, "Menahan imile." How do I know this to be true? What's the source that it's matzai for lagabe kodesh? So Amar Bechanan, Damar Kar, the pasuk says, "Kaf achas asar zahav l'mlea ketores." So one kaf, even though there's a lot of piece of ketores and there are a lot of spices in there, still, a kasav aso l'chol mashib kaf achas. They refer to it as one kaf. Everything's all together here, even though it's multiple items. So this kli is mitzarif legabe kodesh, because of course the ketores was used in the Mishkan at that time. So it's kodesh, and it's mitzarif everything together. That's only legabe kodesh, but not legabe chuma. So it's a din deraisa, the Gemara says. So meisiv Rav Kana. So he quotes the Mebraisa. Hosef Rabbi Akiva hasolas vaktores valavona vagecholim shimnaga tivoyom miktaso paslas kula. So Rabbi Akiva is referring to, if I have a basket of solas, some type of flour, or ketores or the base of Migdash, or lavona, or gicholim, different types of things used in the base of Migdash, if a tivoyom touches one of them, even part of it, the whole container, the whole keli, everything in the keli is going to become tame. So the Gemara says that this statement of Rabbi Akiva is a ha-dirabanan. This is a din dirabanan. So we said above, the source of kli mitzarif is really a din deraisa. But Rabbi Akiva's statement is a din dirabanan. So which one is it? Is it dirabanan or is it deraisa? So Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that Rabbi Akiva is talking about dirabanan? Maybe he says also the din is it's a kaf is mitzarif on a deraisa level. So Gemara proves that it's dirabanan. The katani ratio from the ratio of the statement of Rabbi Akiva, it says, Hey Yid Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira, al eifer chatas shenoga tamei b'miktasa shetim es kula. So he's referring to Efer Chatas, the ashes of the Paraduma. If a person who's Tamei touches some of the ashes, all the ashes are going to become Tamei. And on that, Katani hosts Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, and I'm going to add other examples, same thing applies to Solas and Kataris and so on. So how do you know that case of Efer Chatas is referring to a Din Dirabanan? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Paul says, cool, on the last three lines of Rashi here, the reason why if you touch part of the Efer Parah, Everything else is going to become tame because the kli is matzarif everything. V'hein v'hoch edus midirbanhi. Why? Midikatani reishal eifrachatas v'ahi v'adei alkarchat derbanhi. It has to be. Why? Dimikra d'Rabbi Chanan leka lemeila v'ela kachim izbech aval eifr paralel. If you use the pasuk from before of kaf achas, that's referring to kodesh. The eifr para is referring to kachim izbech. Efer para is not kachim mizbech. It's not brought on the mizbech. It's brought outside the base of Mikdash, outside the Mishkan. That's a lower level. That's what the Gemara calls in many places kedushas damim. Only the Gemara refers to it, even though the Gemara does say in a few places, based on the pasuk, that paraduma is called a chatas. It doesn't have a din v'chatas. That's a kachim mizbech. It's not a karban. It's really kedushas damim, which is a lower level. So how could he make the extension if it's really based on the pasuk? The idea of that kli is matarif, it should be limited to only kachim mizbech to karbanos. Not extended to Efer Para. So this extension must be a Dirabanan extension and not really a Deraisa. So the Gemara answers, Amar Reish Lakish Mishim Bar Kapara, Lo Nitzacha Ela L'Shar Mincha. It's only referring to the Shari Mincha. What does that mean? So it says Rashi here, Lo Nitzacha L'Ha Edis D'Rabbi Kiva D'Birbanan Ela L'Solas Shel Shiar Mincha. It's referring to that which is left over. So the halach is when it comes to a mincha offering, a person brings some flour. So the kohen takes up some of the flour like this. He rubs up the top fingers and thumb and the pinky, rubs off some of it. Most people think, I was taught when I was younger, that it's some soft flour he rubs top and the bottom. It's not really true. Most of the minchas were actually fried, and some of them were hard fried in a dry area. It's very, very hard to snap it. And the Gemara says that's zu avodah kasha min b'migdash. It's one of the three hardest avodas in the base of migdash to try to snap a hard fried dough with your pinky and your thumb to make it smooth on the top and on the bottom. So either way, after he would do that, pick it up, that would be the kmitza, and put it onto the mizbech. The remaining is called the shiar mincha. That would be eaten by the kohen. So that leftover part is what we're referring to. Why? So says the Gemara, look, daraisa tarech l'kli hakli mitzarfa. Whenever there's a need to have a kli midaraisa, so then the halacha is a kli is mitzarif, everything that's there. Midaraisa, from the pasuk we said before, the kafachas. But she'ein tarech l'kli, anything that does not require a kli, ein kli mitzarfo, then the kli is not mitzarif. Even though I have an item that's in a kli, if the kli is really not necessary, then the kli is not mitzarif, even though I'm using a kli. However, even though midaraisa, the kli is not mitzarif something in that case, asur abanan v'grazru, and they were megozer. Even though you don't need the kli. So that means after the kohen does the kmitza and the shiar mincha is left over, it's still in the kli. The shiar mincha doesn't need to be in a kli anymore. Initially, when you bring the mincha has to be in a kli, sharis, the Gemara says. It must be in a kli. So at that point, if before the kmitza takes place, someone tamei touched it, everything in that kli is tamei. But after the kmitza is done, the fact that the leftovers is still in the kli, it's unnecessary. It doesn't have to be in the kli. So the person goes ahead and touches it. If he's tamei, it does not mitame everything else on the deraisa level, but the chacham came along and says, no, midirbanan, it will be tame as well. But we see midiraisa, this concept of kli mitzarif, is really a deraisa concept. So the Gemara says, let's just finish the two dots now. The Gemara says, tinach salas k'tores levonam, k'tores, that all makes sense. Tinach salas makes sense, because once you do the kmitza, the leftover is no longer requires a kli. But the Ketores of Levona, which always require a kli, Ma'ik Lameimar, what was Rabbi Kiva adding on? Those two as well, those always require a kli. There's never a case where they don't need a kli anymore, that you had this room to add a din derabanan. It's always a din deraisa of the kli being mitzarifit. So Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba, Baravua, Kigon should sovran agave kartavala, where you put it on top of some type of rasha or shalak, a piece of leather where there is no base kibo, there's no area to hold on to anymore, it's flat. So there, the loch is deraisa yesh lo toch mitzarif. If there's a base kibbol, there's a kli that has something to hold into it. So then it's mitzarif everything together. Ein lo toch, ein mitzarif. But if you place the solas or the ketores on something or the levona on something flat, so there's no, that's not called a kli. It's not mitzarif anything on a deraisa level. Yet nonetheless, asur abanan v'tiknu, they made a takana af agav dein lo toch. Even though this item, this leather, doesn't have a toch, doesn't have a base kibbol, it still is mitzarif everything that's on that leather. And we'll finish off with this. So pliga the Rabbi Chanan, the Rabbi Chiyah. Now this statement of Rabbi Chanan, we start off saying that the kli is mitzarif based on a pasuk. He argues on Rabbi Chiyah bar Abba, Damar Rabbi Chiyah bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Meidusa she Rabbi Kiva nishes mishnes mishazu. Our Mishnah here, Maseches Chagiga, which tells us that Kli is Mitzarev everything, that's learned from the testimony of Rabbi Kiva. Now, we already established that the testimony of Rabbi Kiva is only a Din Dirabanan. That means he thinks our mission, Chagiga, is also a Din Dirabanan and not a Din Deraisa, not based on the Pasuk, like Rabbi Chanan says. Okay, we'll stop here.